Well, thank you. First of all, the most important thing is to thank you for all you've done for all the many, many years. And I'm glad to finally get to the presentation showing the history is biblical to do that, but I really don't like doing that because we can do what I really enjoy right now. Let's go to Acts chapter 11. Out of the last eight or nine years, I've only had to present our work twice. Because usually I just tell people, let's preach the Word of God and you decide what you want. Let the Holy Spirit tell you if you're going to help us or not. So that's why I'm really... There's several reasons why we shouldn't like that. As one of all, first of all, if you're not careful, you might think you had something to do with it. Remember the Bible says in Proverbs, praise is the something as gold, furnaces to gold. In other words, when someone praises you or thinks you did something, they're setting you up for a fall. Flattery is the same. And also it says, a man searches his own glory is not glory. You shouldn't, the Lord does it all. So you need to frame that. And I forgot to do that because I was such in a hurry, but you need to frame whenever you're saying what the Lord has done in the context of this is what God has done despite us. That's real important. And that's exactly how I see it. I hope it came out that way too. But anyway, so Acts chapter 11. I want to look at a little bit about missions. I'm sure probably everybody here knows a whole bunch about it anyway. Acts chapter 11, if I can find it. I'm used to working off printed paper, and I always put all my verses there so I don't stumble around looking for verses. I have a new Bible that's not really broken in too well. The other one finally gave up the ghost. It's sitting in pieces on the floor in my room. So Becky's is in pieces, but she keeps putting it back together. So Acts chapter 11, you know how it is, your Bible gets where you know what page, what side. This one's like, where'd it go? Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for this church. Lord, I praise your name and thank you that now it's our church also, not just in thought or in our heart, but actually in legal terms, this is our home. We thank you for that. I pray right now that you would use your word to speak to our hearts. We, as individuals, have nothing, absolutely nothing we can do for you. All we can do is humble ourselves, realizing our need. And then, Lord, submit and ask you to use your word, invite your Holy Spirit to apply it to our hearts. If we're not willing, as Pastor was even saying in the study, if we're not willing, you can do nothing. So I pray that you'd help us to prepare our hearts right now. We know your word is alive. It's a sword and it can say different things to every individual. So I pray that you'd apply it. Help us just to get out of the way and allow you to speak to our hearts. We thank you for the opportunity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 11:19. I've got a ton of scriptures. I've never been able to get through this many, so we'll see what we can do. In my past, I'm going to try to keep my mouth shut in a lot of scripture. Acts 11:19. Acts 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution which arose about Stephen traveled as far as, the cities and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. We're looking at the beginning of missions, okay? Just real quick, because that's what we're supposed to be. But actually, we're all missionaries. There is no difference. We are. Now, I know that sounds corny. Absolutely true. If I didn't do what I do if I worked a normal, regular job, I should be doing exactly the same thing. It's just I had the luckiest job in the world. The Lord provides for us to do it all the time. That's how I look at it. I didn't choose it, but we all should. Okay, so missions. Now, did you notice the church was in Jerusalem and they were happy to stay where it was? There's safety in numbers. There really are. You feel better when you're not alone. Nobody likes to be alone. Try to spend the night in this auditorium all by yourself. Even church gets creepy when you're all by yourself. There's noises, the heat and all that stuff popping and snapping and... Unless you had a gun, you wouldn't feel real comfortable. Nobody likes to be alone. And that's very true. And when they were born again, they're facing the world, the flesh, and the devil. So of course they want unity in other believers. There is massive strength in other believers being with you. There is. If you don't know, go out and be by yourself for a few years. Just three feels like a great number. Anything over that, you're just happy. So these people were staying in Jerusalem and enjoying the blessing of the Lord, but he told the apostles at the very beginning, you're going to preach. But why in the world leave? Here's what I'm going to try to get to. God had to bring major persecution to pop the bubble to force them to carry out. When I was saved and I sat down in church, I kept thinking, this is great. This is what I was looking for all my life, but somebody's got to go out there and tell them. Remember that song about around the table? All of them are sitting around the table, something or other. There's a song like that. My house is full, but my fields are empty. That song used to kill me because I knew the Lord was saying, you had the choice to stay here where it's safe. But I knew from the minute I prayed in my car that if the whole world's looking for this, I knew I couldn't stay where it was safe. I would have to go out. It's just the way it is. Your going out may be your work and your neighborhood and your community. That's fine. They're human beings. They're just as valuable. You don't have to cross any ocean to be a missionary. Okay, he brings persecution. I've got to shut up and talk. So it brings persecution, and many hear, they preach, and the Lord turns many. Okay? Now, 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, and that he should go as far as Antioch. Two really important words here. Barnabas and Antioch. Remember that for the rest of what we're going to study. Okay? 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, there you go, they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, I'm not going to get into all the details, but you need to be serious about your salvation. If it's real, you will eventually become serious. You will. If you're truly saved, God will bring things into your life to get you to be serious. It's easier to choose to be serious. I don't understand people that aren't serious. I'm not so sure. Your pastor and I have been talking a lot about this. It may well be that most people that aren't serious just flat are not saved. I don't know how to say it any other way. I'm not judging by their acts. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying there's something wrong when you're dragging someone and they're always trying to figure out how to get. I just don't see that in people that are born again. Nobody had to go drag Stan or anybody else here to church. They're going to come. Okay? I'm not picking on anything. I don't know anything. I'm just anyway. Okay. Verse, where'd we stop? 23. Thank you. Okay. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, okay, exhorted them unto the Lord, verse 24, and he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Okay. Saul's my hero. I mean, the Lord's number one, but as far as human beings, I just really like Saul. Okay. Verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to, there's that base, home base again, brought him back to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So you see, there's Barnabas, which we already know. Barnabas was the one that took, nobody else would get near Saul. He's crazy. He's been killing people. Barnabas said, you know, I smell the Holy Spirit in this. And he was brave enough to go bring him in and get him connected. Then he comes here, helps a good man, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, helps the church, goes and gets Saul and brings him back to that base, Antioch. I'm sure the Holy Spirit was leading him. What I'm trying to say is we need to act like Barnabas, we need to act like Saul, and we definitely need, as a group, to act like the church in Antioch. They were so good that that's the first place they're called Christians. Okay. Verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them. Oh, let me see how far I want to go. I went farther than... That's it, 26. Chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, okay, all the way down, you go through the list, you hit Saul. Okay? There they are. They just spent a year there before. Now, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." It's a very nice thing when you know it's the Holy Spirit's will before you try to do something. Most people go, that looks the best. Halfway through it, oh, so much trouble. Maybe it's not the Lord. You know why you cannot, as a Christian, choose what looks best? Number one, it's by sight, not by faith. You're already in sin. Whatsoever is not by faith, sin. If you use sight, you'll figure out the numbers, and this will be the best thing, and you'll go here for this new job, and when trouble comes, what are you standing on? Your own wisdom. And if you're born again, the Holy Spirit will go, "I told you." That's why I don't have a whole lot of tolerance, especially where I work with people. If they continually to run out there, the first question I ask them, "Did you know for sure the Holy Spirit told you?" "Well, no, but I won't." Well, get back to where you belong. Look, if you know it's the Lord's will, let's take the opposite side. You know God said this. You step out here and trouble comes. Then what do? You have the assurance that it was God's will, so you just buckle down and keep moving. If not, you really want to make me mad. When we're in the middle of a tornado or a fight, and I know I'm in God's will, start doubting whether we're in God's will. I've got less than zero tolerance for that. Okay? No one that's in God's will, that's in a fight, about to be destroyed, can take someone going, "Maybe you're in the wrong place, maybe." It doesn't happen to me. Becky, we learned this a long time ago. We don't take a step till we know, but it's really disheartening for someone to... Some people are like that. "Well, maybe we..." No. We didn't take a step till we knew it was the Lord's will. There is no, "We shouldn't be here." The only question is He going to save us or not? That's it. We get to die today. It's a good day to die. That's exactly how you'll have to look at it in these days coming. Because if you're one that says, "Oh, it's good, it must be God. Oh, it's bad, it's not God," you're probably not even in this room if you think that. Okay. Where'd we stop? Becky, would you hold your finger when I stop so you can tell me? This is what she does for me when we're up there, because I never can remember where I stopped. Okay, 13:2. Thank you, sir. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted in the Holy Ghost. Okay, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. So the Holy Spirit's picking them out. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. Get that? It didn't just say just the church. It's very important, but the Lord's will. Departed into that Seleucia, maybe. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, I guess, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. Okay. Jump down to 38, verse 38, chapter 13, 38. I'm trying to show you the progression. You have Barnabas, then you have Saul, you have Barnabas helping Saul. Their home base is Antioch, the church that God wanted them there. God moves through that church to be involved. The Holy Spirit sends them out. Okay, now they're on their way to go do what we're supposed to be doing all the time. All right, verse 13:38. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe..." Boy, the new Bibles or the new religion should have "baptized, speak in tongues, do this, give money." You know. But it's not. "Believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." You cannot be justified by works, period. Lost case. Every person I've met in my life for the last 15 years, when they say, "I do this and I do that and I do this," Becky's usually with me, and I say, "If I pulled out a gun and shot her in the head and she dies, but then I'm sorry and I become a monk and I give all my goods and I become a monk and do all these great works like Mother Teresa for 100 years, is she now alive?" Well, no. Works have nothing to do with sin. Nothing. They make you feel better. They stab your conscience. That's all it does. And it fools your neighbors to think you're some good person. It does nothing. The wages of sin is, we offended him, he put up the price, death. You die, you're separated from me forever in hell. That's the price. Your soul's polluted, can't come here. Simple. Oh, but he loves us so much, he became a man, God, man. He died. Paid it for us. Then he offers it to us if we'll believe. So the little... We were on an airplane with a lady that just came out of Egypt after a divorce, and she studied. She had the Quran with her in the airport. Tie-dyed, 70s tie-dyed, about my age. Been married to an Egyptian, studied all these different religions. She said, man, I'm studying the Quran, I'm trying to find peace and all that. And I, you know, after she talked, she had some other guys doing all the same thing, and he was saying all these religions. And I waited for him to pause for a second. And I looked at her and I said, you know what? All religions are ladders that don't make it. She goes, you're right. Where'd you learn that? I said, it's only in the blood of Christ. She's looked at me and she was connected with the truth. And that guy cut in and pushed us out. But that was enough. Becky gave her a track. Religion doesn't do it. I don't care what it is. Okay. A little further down. Well, Beck, do you remember? 40? Thank you. We tag team up in Canada. She's my concordance and my rememberer. When I need a verse, she tells me where it's at or finds it for me while I'm going on. It works great. Praise the Lord for a good wife. Okay, verse 40. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when, let me see how far I want to go. Okay. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. You can't change an individual. All you can do is tell them the truth. In love, sincere, and leave it. That's it. You can't make them do anything. But you also do not want to waste day after day after day on an idiot. Because they're taking your time when right over here is the one the Lord really wants. I have never in my life known who the Lord sent me to until after the fact. And if, I wish he'd say, oh, give me the dress and the time they're off. And you go and it's real simple. He doesn't do that. Over and over, you end up talking to this person, it's that one over there that's listening. And they get saved. It happens all the time. That's why you can't be a hypocrite, living like an idiot, and then turn it on for this person, because they all watched you every day. You cannot have a testimony and be a hypocrite. It's a big fat zero. Okay. So, a little further, Sabbath day. So the Gentiles who were hungry and God was moving on were waiting at the gate like the dogs they were called to get in for the opportunity to hear the truth that the Jews wouldn't waste their time on. Not picking on them, put in people that are willing and people that aren't willing. Okay? Verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. How about that? I'm not saying we expect numbers, but God will move. There may only be one. Are you going to tell me it's not worth one soul for you to do something for a couple years? Can you tell me that? We're so programmed by watching the idiots on television. If we haven't got 10,000 and fill up the Houston Astrodome, then we must not be in God's will. Baloney. One. You know what? You have to come down to the fact that we're going to be judged on being faithful even if no one listens. I have to encourage myself since Taiwan. Noah. 120 years of preaching, no converts. And he's in the hall of faith in Hebrews. If you don't get that in your crawl, you're going to fall because nobody wants to hear us hardly these days. Our job's now, if it's fake, it's garbage. I'm not talking about the fake stuff. Living it, loving souls enough to tell them. But learn quickly. The Bible tells us after the first and second admonition, reject. Still love them, but I don't waste all my time on this person that already told me to get lost twice. What I do is I secretly attack him with love once in a while when I happen to see him and just leave. My neighbor's a good, this one neighbor of ours right next door started coming to Bible study for a year. Husband's born again as I am, soaking up the word. The wife argues every word that comes out of my mouth. So after a year, I finally said, you know, people that do what you do, in my experience, are generally lost. Well, they didn't come back. So then I slowly would poison their weeds for them because they don't know anything. I'd prune their trees for them. Then I'd pick up this trash out of their yard. Then their recycle would knock down and blow them. I'd pick it all up. Just secret love. Guess what? Now they go out to eat with us every 2 weeks. Sometimes the big fish take a while. I'm not wasting time. I'm not arguing with her. I haven't even said a word about the Bible. She's even tried to provoke me into the Bible, and I'll just go, "Oh yeah, well, praise the Lord." You know, change the subject. I'm not going to let her get in a fight. Anyway, my point is, witness, love them, and keep moving. That's missions. Okay, verse what? 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes that were filled, they were filled with envy. Oh, by the way, here's our religious buddies. We talk about it. Pastor tells you day in and day out and day in. Religion is the number one killer of the truth, period. Not the lost. They don't care. It's those religious. Just like that tie-dyed girl was wanting the truth, and this prognosticator of baloney religion would not shut up. In fact, when we got on the plane, he sat next to her, far enough away from us, and I saw his head the whole time on the 30-minute flight doing this. He was trying to undo what Becky had planted with that track. Okay. The Jews were filled with envy because the Jews want money. The love of money is the root of all evil. You have to have numbers to have money. They don't like it when you give them the truth. Satan doesn't like it when you give people the truth. Okay? Spoken by Paul, look what they do. They contradicting and blaspheming. They even contradict themselves. That's what's the funniest part of it. Okay. Then Paul and Barnabas, by the way, I want to remind, I just now remembered that the guy was from Anchorage that was stopping the girl from listening. He goes, "Well, in my experience and vast education, I found all religions lead to the same God." And I didn't talk for a while, wasn't it? Because he was going to Anchorage. He'd been laid over because no flights. He stopped for a second. About 10 minutes into it, I said, "You know, all religions go to God like all flights go through Anchorage." And then I just went back to reading. You should have seen his face. Becky even kind of like, his face just went, "Bull." That whole argument is ridiculous. I said, "You know, if I was sincerely going to Seattle, if I was going north, I'm sincerely wrong." I didn't know that. I was trying to act like I wasn't interested and just waiting for him to stop talking because he wasn't going to let it break and then just try to... But I'm sure the Holy Spirit helped me on that because... He was so full, all of them get there. They don't get there. He was an electrical engineer on top of that. Okay, 46. When Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves," look at this, "unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light." Here we go. This is our age, all of us in here. "To be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. See, they didn't praise Paul and Barnabas. That's another very important thing. This is all God. All God. Beginning, middle, end. Not people. If you're looking at a person, if you hold up a person, you're flat wrong. We're all the same. The only difference is if we'll submit to this book. That's it. And we do that very infrequently, but make it more frequent. Okay. Let's see, verse 48, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." There's another very important principle. You don't know who it is, tell them and let the Lord do it. You'll know. Every person that's in our church now, when we first meet them, you could just see a bling. I told Becky, "Did you see that?" "Yeah. Something happened. Let's wait and see." But within a year, you know beyond any shadow of a doubt. But we don't go, "Oh, you're saved now. You can..." Just keep preaching the word. Let them. The worst thing you can do is tell, "Oh, you did this prayer. You're saved forever." Never. You just made... You don't know if they are or not. Now you've insulated them from the truth. Let the Holy Spirit tell them. He'll straighten it out. Okay, verse what? 49. Thank you, sir. And the word of the Lord was published. Oh, look at this. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But guess what? Here comes your religious friends. What I'm trying to get at and I'm trying to prove from Scripture is missions is biblical, or whatever the proper English. Give me a break on that, okay? It's biblical. Number two, as soon as you start, you're going to have trouble every step of the way. Who cares? If there was no trouble, I would start to wonder, maybe I'm on the wrong path. All the trouble we've had is comfort. When the bad guys like you, you got a problem. Okay. Alright. Lots of problems. Now, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout, the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. People in rank in this world system do not want to lose their rank, and they will lose it and become equal with everyone else when they're born again. They don't like that. They've worked hard at lying, cheating, and stealing to climb in this world system. They're the least likely to give up their position. And you're the one exposing their underwear. So that's why they come after you. Verse 50 still. And raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Sounds very familiar. Religious people will work to keep you out of their towns and away from their people. Most of the people in our church have had pastors in the area, mostly in Vancouver, come to their house to try to get them away from us, calling us every name on the book. We call them jack in the boxes. There's another one. There's another one. There's another one. So we just call them jack in the box. Okay, verse 51. Look at our response when we get attacked. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. They didn't say, oh, woe is me. We're persecuted. People don't like us. I've shaken the dust off many times. Every time I get thrown out somewhere, I just do this right on the doorstep. It's done. It's over. Don't worry about it. We just did a little one of these things not too long ago. Verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you just got thrown out of a place and everybody making fun of you and you lost all your standing in the community, you generally don't have joy. But they did. Chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake, and a great multitude, both of Jews and also of Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving, here we go, unbelieving religious people, put religious people in there for yourself for today. Unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. We've been thrown out of so many churches. It's not even funny. We'll tell them the truth. They'll say, you said exactly what the Bible says. We know it's true. But you need to leave. Well, what have we done wrong? Nothing. Is what I said wrong? No. It's true. Get out. Happens all the time. Okay. Religious people. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, see, they always hook up with the politics and the all the stuff, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and into the region that lieth round about. Verse 7. And there they, now look, you know, oh no, we gotta hide, we better change. Here's what today's preachers do, and I'm not talking about excluding here. Oh boy, we better change the message. We've gotta lower it down. That Rick Warren, we call it a porpoise driven church. The porpoise, you know, the water, we have porpoises up there. Goofy! Let's just tell them what they want to hear and we'll get their money. They didn't do that. They went there and they preached. And I just lost my place again. Anybody help me? Thank you, sir. Preach the gospel. And there sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple. Let me see if I want to, okay, verse 28. Okay. Crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, very important, get this, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. The important kind of subtle principle here is when you teach the truth to people that are religious, they don't want to hear it. They'll flatter you to shut you up. Prove it. They kill him. They try to kill him in a second. If a person can't run you off, then they'll divert and say, wow, you have Bible knowledge for, oh, that's so good. Flattery, trying to turn off whatever it is. They feel like if I pet you on the back, you wouldn't stab me again, would you? It's a standard practice all through the scriptures. The woman at the well, oh, I perceive you're a great prophet. Stabbed her anyway. Watch it. When you tell people the truth, don't they want you to assume, oh, they must agree with me. No, they're trying to turn you off. Say, no, I'm just like you. Just like the answer here. I'm just like you. Here's the next. In love. Watch it. They'll do it. You watch. Next time you're witnessing. If they can run you out of the house, they can't. If it's a mall, they can't run you off. Oh, you have so much Bible knowledge. We're so old. You must study how many degrees? Something like that. No, not really. Okay. Men just like you. Same passions. What verse? Thank you. 16. Who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own way. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain... Now look, so they're in the town. Now here... Like, you know when you ski or behind a boat, there's the wake. Paul's wake is full of religious people trying to get rid of him and undo whatever he did. This is how it is. It's how it's been with us. Everywhere we go, some of them are ahead of us, actually. I don't know how they do that, but they're always behind us. In Taiwan, we had the Mormons following us in that park. The Mormons followed us in the park. We'd lead someone to the Lord, and I didn't know. I'd circle back around and find these two guys in white shirts, take them to the temple. So that's when I made an appointment with their temple and went down, and it was 30 on one. And I gave him salvation for about 30 minutes. A couple were crying, and the head guy said, look, I think we're going to leave you alone as long as you don't come back here. So they thought 30 on one was they were going to mash me. But when they let me talk, I went straight to salvation. And they decided, a couple of young guys were back there with tears. They knew their works weren't getting them anywhere. And that's when the boss said, whoa, let's cut this. We promise we won't bug you anymore if you just get out of here and shut up. Okay. Verse, well, help me again. I'm really low. Pardon me? 19, thank you. There came thither certain Jews. Here comes the religious people right behind you from Antioch and Iconium. See, they followed him all the way from his home church. They knew what Paul was. They knew he was sent out. We got to stop that guy. Never underestimate the enemy. Big mistake. And never assume anything. Bigger mistake. Who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, just the verse before, they were going to worship him. And now the religious people, boom, stoning. Okay? Drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, now look at Paul. Paul didn't get up and say, oh, call 911, get me out of here. I got to go back to Antioch. This is tough. I quit. Verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. Now that had to be a very scary place. Praising the Lord, but at first you're going, whoa, Paul? Rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, you would assume if he was nearly dead, and there's a lot of stuff about that, but you'd want to rest a bit. He's preaching to him again. Get it in your crawl. As long as you're breathing, you have a mission to tell people that are willing the truth. We talked about it in the Sunday, the Bible study class. Go straight at righteousness. Their lack of righteousness and God's righteousness was in Jesus Christ. That's the key. Everything else is just a bunch of smoke. You can save your time and save memorizing lots of verses. Go right there. It works for everything, every religion. You don't have to memorize. Oh, Mormons, what do they believe? Oh, all of them. I promise you, I've never met a person yet it doesn't work on. They get red and mad, religious. They look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, just flat lost. If they say, yes, born again. Real easy. Okay. And they will. Born again people will say, yes, sir. The blood of Jesus. They will. That's exactly what they'll say. It just happens so infrequently we forget. Generally you get the, that's what you get 99% of the time. They want to kill you, run you out of town, flatter you, whatever. Okay. So they preached in the city. Next day he departed. Okay, we did that. Oh, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, back to home base, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we must through much, here we go. Here's a very important principle for us today, that much, not to be saved, but it's going to be tough between here and the rapture. Okay? You want a forecast? The weatherman's always wrong. Here's God's forecast. If you're born again between now and death or now and the rapture, which I think is much closer, I hope, Lord willing, much tribulation. Big deal. I didn't start out because it was easy. What did easy have to do with any of this? Where was the contract that I'll do this if it's... That was not my contract. My contract was I'm zipped and I deserve hell and I can smell it and I know I'm going there. I trust just you. You just bought me. There isn't any amendment over here. Second renegotiation of contract. Oh, if it's easy and it's nice and it's, yeah, nobody gets mad at me and my mom. That's not in there. It's not in there. Okay? Much tribulation. Enter into the kingdom of God. And when they, verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. That's exactly what we did in Taiwan. Believe me, it was the hardest thing I'd ever done until this last trial ever in my life was leaving the place, but it was time to go. They were ready to do their thing. And I taught them this is all they need and we practiced it. It was not easy. Okay, and I got to do it again up in Vancouver. There's two men, Mike and Eugene. I'm not sure which one's called the pastor. We'll surrender to do it. But you can see it in them. They're growing like weeds. Okay, they'll have to walk away again. Oh, that's terrible. I hate that part. Okay, I hate that part. But obey. So, verse 24. And after they had passed through Pisidia, I guess, and Pamphylia, I don't like cities and stuff like that. I try not to read because I can't read very well. And when they had preached the word Pergaja, whatever, take your pick, they went down into, okay, in verse 26, and then sailed to Antioch from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God. I think there's two Antiochs, I bet, in there, probably. Okay, which... Verse 26 again. And then sailed to Antioch from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered, here we go, the church together. This is what we did this morning. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. We didn't open any door. Paul opened the door, but we're spreading it. Okay. Verse 28. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Okay. One second here. Jump down to Acts 15, just a couple verses there, and then I'm almost done. Acts 15, 1537 through 40. There's your mission plan. Go out, take it out, come back, tell them. If you're still breathing, come back and tell them, and then go back out and keep going until you die. Verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, I think, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through those cities. Now, the reason I put this in is because when you're serving God, sometimes there's internal trouble. It's right there. You don't see Paul or Barnabas wasting time writing and fighting, do you? They disagreed. Lord bless you. I'm moving. You move. We'll see you. They get together later. Very important. Guess what? You and I, we're all human beings. We're born again. We're in the same church. There are going to be fleshly problems. What newsflash? We don't handle it in the flesh. Now, they separated, but I'm not talking about separating. It's just get over it. Do God's will. A mature Christian will learn to do God's will and even let people think what they want and let God change their mind later. Have you all lived long enough, some of you, and been through circumstances where you try to defend yourself and then you end up looking like the bad guy? And when the other time when you just walked on and didn't care, maybe you cared, but you learned to just reckon the flesh dead. And God will actually bring those people to attack you back to being your friends or at least shut their mouth. Have you seen that? That's how it works, right? Don't worry about what someone else thinks. Even a Christian. Love them. Let's say I had a problem with the person right here. Instead of bringing up the problem every time, or, here's even worse, going around and trying to develop my own little party to go after them. That's really stupid. The best thing to do is say, Lord, I'm not their judge. I can't convince them. I can't convince myself to do right. How can I convince them? I'm not going to stand the judgment for them. What? And here's how I get my daughter, Bethany, to stop fighting. Oh, you're letting that person control you. No, I'm not! Yeah. Now you're miserable, grumpy, nasty, depressed, because of that person's actions. You can't control that person. You have now put that person in the position of God. Think with me for a minute. We really do. If you let anyone, and I'm talking, it can get down to husband and wife and kids even. If you let them make you miserable, you put them more important. Because God hasn't changed. Look, did God change? Did His Word change? Did my salvation change? The apostles, after they were beaten, unjustly accused, walked away praising. They didn't spend time taking up a petition, going back and fighting to prove that they were. They didn't worry about what the brethren thought. Oh, you got beat, so therefore you must have sin in your life. That's a bunch of baloney. Say, Lord, I know it's clear. You teach them, it's your business. You can even do little things of love. A little love makes those people, it disarms them. It really does. It really does. I've seen it in my neighbor. My neighbor wanted to gut me. That lady, she really wanted to gut me after that day. But just a little, one day she caught me spraying her weeds, and she's like, thanks! Picking up this, I saw her pulling with her lawnmower, I ran over there to help her because she's got a bad back, unloaded that, she's going, slowly. And now they're actually, like I said, every 2 weeks we go out to eat with them now. And she's actually bringing up Bible, and I'm changing the subject. Love. I'm not saying I did it right, I can tell you a million times where I didn't. When you, I proved you wrong, and they hate your guts the rest of your life. A sign of a mature person is they don't have to worry about what they think, and they don't have to prove to the bystanders. If you're in a trial, don't worry about, and anybody in this place that loves you will not judge you. They'll be there to help you. Great tribulation. Okay. Last, let's get one more. Acts 20:24. I know I gotta quit. Acts 20:24. I've got about 6 or 8 other verses, but take forever to get them. Acts, not long ones like we just did. That was the Acts 20:24. Here's what Paul says after, I think, Paul, through all this. Oh, by the way, 23. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Good news! You know they have this stupid television. Good news for today! How to enjoy... Those women preachers. How to enjoy life today! How to be blessed by God! How to be prosperous! Look what Paul says. Here's one of the greatest Christians. Bonds and afflictions abide. Today's Christians are such wieners if they're even born again. They can't tolerate the truth. But if you're born again, you're going to get toughened up. You ever seen a kid go to boot camp and come back? If they were skinny, they got muscle. If they were heavy, they are lost it. And that, it brings everybody to that lean, mean position. That's where we need to be as Christians, because it's not going to get easy. Okay? Look what he says, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. Does he know the course? No. He knows each step, period. With joy, missing for most of us, including myself, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Nothing moves him. I'm going to quit there. I'm going to try to quote part of a verse if I could. I'm not going to try to be perfect with it, but Proverbs says something about a just man falls 7 times, but gets up. I wanted that verse to say a just man never falls. That's what my version. Because I like the promise that says you're not going to get overcome. You're not going to get swallowed. But a just man does fall. They will get us. We will have trouble. Why? He's trying to teach us we can't do it. But the good part of that verse is, gets up again. Then the verse either prior or after that says, the wicked fall and are destroyed. The wicked may be used, get this, the wicked may be used to smash you unjustly, smash you flat. And everybody thinks you're a reprobate. They are not our judge. Shut your mouth, get up, keep moving. It doesn't matter how bad it is. Becky and I, 2 years ago, almost lost each other. We were here for that counseling, remember? I don't remember or not. That's why we were here. We both had knives and we were ready. Get it right, get it fixed, and keep moving forward. I just learned something. I watched a show and it said when there's a firefight, generally you want to move forward to draw them down where you can find cover. I didn't know that. Because when you hear a gunshot, first you wet your pants and then you run. I mean, that's generally that's what happens. If you ever hear a gunshot in the house, it deafens you. And everybody says, all you hear is a bunch of buzzing, smell a little gunpowder, and you're hoping nobody else is hanging around. That train went right on by. Where was I headed? I looked at Becky and I thought she was trying to tell me a verse. Anyway, I don't remember how. Oh, we cannot quit. What I want to get to is you can't quit. There is no excuse. And I've got 2 men in my church right now, their wives, because of their salvation, left them. Because of their salvation, left them. High and dry. Not only left them, they're using the corrupt Canadian judicial system to take everything they have and probably everything they'll ever have. Just trying to hurt him for believing and doing what God wanted. And they are standing like a pillar. You can do it. There is, if you're saved, no matter how bad it is, it's not you. Let me amend that. By faith. Submit, trust, and you know, the prayer that got me through this, I don't know if you know it or not, but Pastor Wilkins calls me, we talk at least 2 hours a week for 10 years probably now. Since we came home in 98 and lived here, we talk 2 hours a week. He encourages me, helps me, and all that. And one thing we learned, when all that trouble comes, you just have to give up and just trust God. Let go. Quit trying to steer. A lot of us are controlling that for you, okay? He doesn't want you driving. Sit down. When you sit down, you can relax. Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you that missions is not only biblical, but Lord, I don't even like to put it in the context of missionaries. We are all the same. Lord, we're supposed to be born again by believing in the finished work of Christ, period. Giving up our righteousness, giving up our pride, giving up whatever we think we've done, realizing we're broken. And then, Lord, you want us to walk by faith, and as we learn, it's the same process. We have to be broken. Lord, I thank you that you break us, and you're trying to conform us, and you will conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, help each person in this room to realize there is never a time to give up. There's never a time to quit. You will never leave us. It'll get dark. It can get very dark. But you're trying to push us to the place where we trust you completely. And when we get there, when we finally give up, we realize we've always had a safety net. You've always been there. You're just trying to help us realize that you're absolutely faithful. You never, ever, ever lose. Help us to walk each day in faith. And if there's someone in this room right now, help them to repent. If they're not saved, repent and trust the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Give up their religion. Give up trying to be good. And just trust you. Lord, we thank you for this church. Bless us as we have time together now. In Jesus' name, amen.